This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into pudding! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out!
Hi, everyone. It's Dave Denton, Turnbuckle Trash. Before we get joined by Chris and by Zane to talk about some of the other things in professional wrestling, I thought I'd play you something that I did on my radio show on Cool 103.9. It's all about Grandma Willie, who was in a life or death situation, and then she went stone cold on them.
Time we opened up a can of whoop-tushy on this situation.
While the burglar was walking through her house, Grandma Willie, 82-year-old Grandma Willie, hides in the shadows and waits for the perfect moment. Yes, Grandma Willie jumps out, grabs a table, and broke the table over the burglar.
That is awesome!
Did I mention Grandma Willie is a female bodybuilder? And then, after she broke the table on the dude's back, she decided to do something else. In a perfect wrestling move, she grabs a foreign object and squirts a bottle of shampoo directly into the burglar's eyes. Grandma Willie talking about what happened with this burglar.
He picked the wrong house to break into. I took that table and I went to working on him. The table broke and it had metal legs and I'm jugging him. And when he's down, I'm jumping on him. There's a bottle of baby shampoo on the table in his face, all of it, the whole thing. The police arrive on the porch. He's laying down already. Because I had really did a number on that man. I'm serious.
And that's the bottom line, because Grandma Willie said so.
Because I had really did a number on that man. I'm serious.
You gotta love Grandma Willie. And now stay tuned, because up next, it's Turnbuckle Trash.
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
This isn't a social event. This is a competition where there's one winner. You don't see the officers before a fight playing with jacks and juice boxes. No, they talk trash and they beat the crap out of each other.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Well, trash heads, old and new, puppy dogs of all ages, here we are once again. It is Turnbuckle Trash joining us today from beautiful Manti, Utah. In San Pete County, Utah, is Zane Peterson. Hi, Zane.
Hi.
Are you excited to be here today, Zane?
Oh, Dan, I'm so excited. Is Chris here too, dude?
Yes. From Winston-Salem, North Carolina. If you just say hi, Chris, I'm going to just absolutely kill you. Christopher Evans, how you doing, Chris?
Well, if you'll excuse me, sir, I'm about to light my pipe, and I'm going to give you all of my problems here in just a few minutes. Hey, guys, it's going to be a great show today.
Oh,
my two favorite trash heads, I'm fixing to talk to them. Here we go.
Are you guys ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We just got through with the Survivor Series, which I got to say, Survivor Series was fun. We're not going to break it down match by match, but I'd like to see what you guys thought about the Survivor Series and the adding of NXT.
It definitely made it a little more interesting. You can definitely tell that they're really trying to push NXT, aren't
Ooh,
they?
Baby. I thought it was a three-hour commercial for NXT.
Pretty much, huh? Yeah.
But I still enjoyed it. I mean, it was fun. And you can't blame them taking an opportunity where they've got people tuning into Survivor Series. And they had a great build-up to it to really push their program on Wednesday night. I can't blame the WWE at all. But I was going, oh, man, this is a three-hour spot for NXT, who did win the overall Survivor Series.
Yeah, I love NXT, dude. Dave, you love NXT, too.
I think NXT is right up there as my favorite. I mean, NWA Power and NXT are just right there for me right now. So, Chris, what did you think, man?
Well, I'm going to give credit to Adam Cole, baby. Mm-hmm. For after having that War Games match, and when Tommaso Ciampa tossed him and himself off the top of that cell, he was still able to get back into the ring at Survivor Series to defend the NXT World title.
I was sitting there watching that match, and when Tommaso Ciampa had Adam Cole on his back, and then he fell backwards into those two tables, I could just hear JR saying, oh my God, they've killed him. They broke him in half. That's all I could think of. It was that kind of spot. It was incredible.
This is what I heard. That's it. He's dead. He's dead. That was Jerry Lawler right there. That's it. He's dead.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, happy birthday to the king yesterday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to the king.
70 years old.
Thank you. Oh, no. Mine was a few days ago, but thank you.
Well, happy birthday.
You're a little late.
Oh, yeah. You did have your birthday.
You're a little late, Chris. You're a little late. Just kidding.
How old are you now? How old are you now, Zane?
I think I'm 36.
You think?
Just a baby.
I always have to ask my wife. I always have to ask my wife how old I am because I forget. I have a pretty good memory, but it's about the second shortest thing I own. So.
Well, I'm gonna. There went that pipe. Gotta cut this up.
But
go ahead.
Please. That NXT takeover once again. Yeah, I didn't watch it on the Saturday night. I just finished it on Thanksgiving Day, to be honest with you. But once again, from start to finish, was incredible. There wasn't a weak match on the entire card. And, it, you know, it's once again, NXT saying to the, you know, the quote main roster, hey, top this. And with the help of NXT, Survivor Series pretty much topped it because it was really good. I really enjoyed it. So,
yeah. It's one of the best ones they've had in a while.
Yeah.
You know why? Do you know why they put so much money into Survivor Series?
Why?
Oh, Lord.
It's because they know that AEW is going to beat them. They know that AEW is better. WWE's scared.
You've been on social media again, haven't you?
They're scared.
from the last AEW show I watched on Thursday morning. Yeah, right. Okay. Whatever.
No, they're scared.
Scared. Vince is shaking in his bank account right now.
And you know, right. I gotta admit, even though I'm enjoying All Elite and I'm still, you know, out there saying give them a little bit more time to start establishing stars and also the storylines. Besides Chris Jericho and then some of the surprise portions in the middle of the show, it wasn't as good as I was hoping to be this past week. But there was some good things in there. I love the Chris Jericho promo up to the point where his dad came into the ring. His dad was lost. But Jericho's promo work the last 3 weeks has made that show funny, intelligent, and good heel work. Just good heel work.
Jericho he's funny. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, you can tell he just has a good time.
Yeah.
But you know what? You know what AEW needs to do, Dave?
What do they need to do, Zane?
They need to bring some more star power in.
Star power, like the old guys?
No, they can't bring the old guys in. Then it would be just like WCW.
Okay, so how do they bring in star power in?
They just got to bring in some star power.
You've been reading social media way too much.
Hey, I got a star for him. Hey, yo.
Okay, so that brings up a point. They did bring in some new people on this past week's show on AEW Dynamite, The Blade and The Butcher and The Bunny.
Oh, God.
So, Zane, I don't know if you've seen this portion yet, but they came out of the ring and attacked Cody Rhodes. And Jim Ross has been catching flack from this. Because he said, who are these people? He didn't know who they were. And I didn't know who they were either. Evidently, Braxton Sutter, who was on Impact for a while, is married to Allie, who is the Bunny. And Allie has been announced as part of the AEW roster. And then the Blade is actually an independent wrestler who also fronts a band. So... But JR, he called flag for it, and he put back on his Twitter account and said, I wasn't supposed to know who they were. So he got back at those that are trolling him. And good old JR, we're behind you 100% there, my man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Zane, what did you think? What did you think? I'll let you go ahead before I get my take.
I just don't get it, man. I just don't get it. I'm just like... I don't understand. And I read one the other day that I just shook my head at. It's like, it says, you can't be both an AEW fan and a WWE fan. You have to pick.
Wrong.
And I'm like, what?
Wrong.
Idiot.
Yep. You stupid idiots.
I didn't call you idiots. I called you stupid idiots.
Yeah. Need
to
be an idiot button on the keyboard.
Jeez, who is that idiot?
Like, what in the world is? What the heck is wrong with? I don't know. I some of these things they just show up on my as I scroll through social media and I catch a glimpse at them. But I'm like Chris, I'm not engaged in them anymore. I just read the things and I shake my head and go, really? Like you people out there exist? Why?
They're probably their own parents. There's a little bit of inbreeding with some of these people.
I would imagine there's got to be something because it's just like, they're like they need some more star power and then it's like, oh, but they can't sign old people because we don't want them to turn into WCW, and it's like, well, they need some more better tag teams, and so they sign some tag teams. They're like, oh, they should be concentrating on building up their own roster, not signing new people. Like, what in the world do you people want?
It's ridiculous. I'm sorry. It's just ridiculous. And I'm going to go back to my own experience in entertainment. And I'm in the low end of entertainment. I got to admit, radio. But you have to build star power. There's nothing you can go in right off and say, hey, this guy's going to be a star. You got to see how the crowd reacts. You got to see how a certain storyline reacts. There's a lot to building stars that some of these so-called internet experts don't have a clue about.
Yeah, I don't get it. I just, I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
But, looks like there's some good stuff going on though. I it takes time, I think people, like you've talked about many times, Dave, is they're like, oh, so far there's been some good wrestling, but there hasn't been any stories. And it's like, well,
good grief.
I mean, well, they've been on for what, 5-6 weeks now?
I think 8 weeks now, maybe 9. Yeah, something like that. It was in October.
What do they want? They want some, Chris Jericho to marry Nyla Rose and then have a baby together or something. I don't get it. It's like,
but that would be
quite
a
soap opera, wouldn't it? Yeah, I'd be like, wait a minute. Uh-huh. Don't know how that happened, but
that I like. That was funny. Ooh.
I don't get it. I'm like, what kind of story do you guys want? I mean, Yeah. Well, remember the days when they used to tell a story in the ring?
That's amazing.
Yeah, I was like, oh, whoa, those days are so, well, that's crazy, you know?
Oh, social
media. I don't know, Chris, tell us what's on your mind, buddy.
Okay, with this new tag team that came up and attacked Cody, my question is, why cut the ring open and come through the bottom, which was fine if that's how they want to do things. But during the commercial break, they had to fix this ring, and then here comes Kenny Omega and Pac, and they're still fixing the ring on live TV. Mm-hmm. That's what kind of threw me off. I was like, why are you all doing this, cutting the ring now, when that should have been like the, not like the main event, but, you know, close to the end. Mm-hmm. That's what I just didn't understand. You explained it to me, guys. Was it good or bad?
It was poor planning, to be honest with you. Poor planning.
I did, because I was like, what? Yeah. What are y'all doing?
But that Kenny Omega match against Pac was so good. That match
was a barn burner.
It was good.
No, one thing that I think, Dave, about some of this stuff, you know, and everybody's. There's been criticism on things like this, you know, with like camera work and little things that happen and little glitches and like you know, power slams missed and things like that. You know, do you think, Dave and Chris, for that matter, you know, think about like when Vince started buying up the territories and things like, if you go back to the good old days, you know, Vince brought a lot of good people in with him, you know, guys like Jim Cornette and Bobby the Brain Heenan, and, you know, some of these guys that have been around for so long and that were so smart, you know, do you wonder if that could be something that a newer company like that is lacking, is just that of, you know, those people like that, like the people who know how to get things done.
Not in these days and times, not anymore, no. It's getting him more in trouble. I mean, it's causing more of a problem now because people are so snowflakey and so butthurt over little comments that were done 25 to 30-something years ago that they're making comments about, and now you've got all this BS. I mean, the PC era is alive and well, folks, and we have to live in it, and to me, they can take that PC and just turn it sideways. I don't want nothing to do with it. So
is the siren in Winston-Salem, North Carolina?
The siren's coming for me right now. It's my blood pressure going through the roof.
Chris had to call 911, huh? Chris had to put us on hold.
Well, Zane, Zane, one of the things that I think you were trying to get at is the training ground for professional wrestling. When you had the quote territories, there was more opportunity to have these guys hone their craft a little bit more. Now, we've got some fine training schools out there. We had people from Rocky Mountain Pro that come into Salt Lake City. Devotion is starting theirs. UCW Zero has one going on. There's plenty of training schools, but it's not practical experience as much as used to go on, because these guys used to travel. Back in the Memphis territory day, they'd do a show in Memphis, hop in the car, go to Nashville, then hop in the car and go to Louisville, and then go over to Lexington, Kentucky. And they had a loop that they would do all week long, and they would be doing shows every night of the week. Now, some of these places are doing once a week. Some places are doing once a month, like Devotion is right now. So that training ground is not quite as prevalent. And I think that leads to more mistakes in the ring and botched moves, because they haven't had that year's worth of experience of wrestling every night or almost every night over a year to 2 years of time. I think that's what you were trying to get at. But
as I say, you know, and that's one thing that I've loved about NXT is, like, you watch NXT and it's so awesome to me, because you get the best of all worlds. Like, people criticize NXT because, oh, it's just another one of Vince's, you know, brain children, or, oh, you know, it's just this or it's just that. And, but, you know, we've talked about this a lot, Dave, where, you know, you watch NXT, and here you've got the camera work, the production value of WWE, along with rising stars, along with a shorter show, more of a smaller venue with a hotter crowd, things like that. And I have always liked that, and that's one reason too why I really like NWA and Championship Wrestling from Hollywood and some of these other ones, is because, you know, they know oh, okay, we're not going to go out and try to sell out a 15,000 seat arena tonight. You know, they know what they got to do, and they go out and do it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that made any sense or not.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
And then you add the fact that when they're in NXT, they're training every day. Their job is to train how to be a professional wrestler. So they're getting that hands-on experience, 5-6 days a week of training with their trainers and learning how to do these moves and do them correctly and crisply, which some of the other wrestlers don't necessarily get as intense. So that's part of what the brilliance of NXT is. A little concerned with it now being another brand of the WWE, will they start pushing their stars and not letting some of the younger stars come up quite as fast? And there has been some NXT talent saying, why can't I get my break? Why can't I get a push? And Zane, I think you've talked about it. WWE has so much talent. What do they do with it?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. If it's a question, I'll repeat my answer that I've repeated 1,000 times before, is give these guys some time off.
Yeah.
You know, let them, give them some vacation time. Let them take a couple weeks off and recoup and get back in the ring, with the trainer and some things like that. And then, it kind of just do kind of a rotation almost. Mm-hmm. It's like week after week, it's like, the Roman Reigns and this and that and the Fiend and, nothing. I'm not saying anything against any of this, but where are guys like EC3?
There was a sign at Survivor Series right behind the announcer that says, "Where's EC3? I loved it.
But
he was in the concession stand selling hot dogs.
Yeah. I guess. Where are half these good guys?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's so much talent.
And that I think it's a real problem for the WWE, because you do tend to get burned out on some of these other stars. So
I say, the New Day, I'm so sick of the New Day I could puke.
I'll never go to International House Pancakes again.
Where's Goliath?
There's got to be another tag team out there that's as good or better, than the New Day, isn't there?
Do they get the pop? That's the thing. And then
I don't know. Well, but think like, okay, here, the pop. What about the B team?
Yeah.
Remember when they everybody loved the B team?
Yeah.
They got a, and what about Tyler Breezango?
Uh-huh.
That was great. Everybody loved that. They thought that was the coolest thing in the freaking world. It was so funny and it was so over. Why couldn't Breezango go on for a little bit longer?
Well, we've
been stuck with the New Day now for 4 years.
Now Breezango's in NXT. So, and Chris, I heard you say, "Where is Elias?" He appeared on Friday Night SmackDown. He's back.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He hurt, didn't he?
Yeah, he hurt his knee, and he did a segment, and it looked like Mandy Moore, but Dana Brooke was falling in love with Elias. So we'll have to kind of keep that in mind. So,
whereas in real life, she's fallen in love with Dave Bautista.
That's true. They are an item now. So,
are they official, or is it just?
I think they're going on a date. Are going on dates? Yeah. That's what the Dave Bautista, evidently they had a Twitter going thing and they decided to go out a couple of times. So, and Chris, you had mentioned, we'll go back to your comment about the PC era really hurting what's going on in professional wrestling. I think you were trying to tie that into some of the controversies over the last couple of weeks in the world of professional wrestling. I'm just going to turn this over to you.
It's Chris on the match. Match.
I'm lost for words.
The original trash head, Chris Evans.
If a guy didn't get cracked open, he wasn't really wrestling.
Chris. On the mat.
You can make people sit their butts in those seats. Your box office.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers.
When does a bucket of chicken get you kicked off YouTube?
Yeah.
When does a joke that is over 30-something years old get you kicked off of YouTube? I don't understand this. I went on Jim Cornette's podcast, and I posted on the Facebook page. I hope y'all guys probably listened to it after you bleeped everything out. Jim said that when he said it, he didn't think anything about it because it was an old joke.
Right.
It was an old joke. I mean, guys, you tell me, did y'all get offended by it?
I wasn't offended.
I wasn't offended. I just think it was very funny, but I wasn't offended by it. And Jim did say that it was more of a joke about starvation and being hungry than what a lot of people took it to be, a racially insensitive joke. I think the NWA completely missed the mark, and they overreacted, and I'm really disappointed in them at this time. I can understand why people were offended, but they didn't real they were looking to be offended, as far as I'm concerned.
But the one thing I don't understand is this show has been in the can for 6 weeks.
Exactly.
And even Jim said it. He asked the producer, he goes, "Didn't you hear the joke?" And he goes, "Yeah, what'd you think about it? It went over my head." Exactly. Exactly. It went over your head. So you're telling me that in 6 weeks, you couldn't have heard that, say, "Hey, man, we don't think that this needs to be allowed," and you couldn't have edited that off? Come on.
Yeah.
Well, it's like you said, that I don't think that anybody, the editors or the people like that, probably aren't wussbag sensitive, crybaby, whiny snowflakes. So they probably were like, "Oh, you know, it's Jim Cornette. Hi. He said a funny," you know, it's like, they probably just didn't even, they were like, "Oh, you know, whatever." Cause I honestly, when I heard it, it didn't register to me that it was like offensive. It was just, you know, I'm more focused on the match than I hear Jim Cornette in the background, you know, and you're like, and I kind of go, "Oh, wait a minute. What did he just say?" Mm-hmm. You know, you have to rewind it some of the time because Jim's funny.
Oh, he's
and if
hilarious.
if you're focused on the match and you don't hear it, and you're like, "Wait a minute, what did he just say?" Like, you gotta really, but sometimes it takes a few seconds to register.
Oh, and okay. But look at the comics back in the past. Sam Kinison, George Carlin, Richard Pryor.
Oh, Richard Pryor.
If these guys were still alive this day, do you think that they'd be on stage now? Heck no. They would have fit, just like Uncle David said, you're an equal opportunity offender.
Right. Now, so that brings up a point. Now, this is not wrestling, but Tim mm-hmm. Taylor was on that wonderfully boring show called The View over the weekend.
It needs to be canceled.
Yeah, well, I hate The View. But he actually mm-hmm. talked about the PC police ruining comedy because they have to, you know, just completely be aware of every little thing they say. And then Dave Chappelle has recently gotten into trouble, and he's a mm-hmm. black comedian because of some of the insensitive things that he's reportedly said. And he's not apologizing. He's saying, "That's what comedy is. We're looking to push the envelope, and I'm not going to apologize." And he's still taking more flack for not issuing an apology. But I have more respect for him, and I'm not a big Dave Chappelle comedian fan, but boy, do I have respect for him for sticking to his guns. And I think some people, and I'm hoping we're turning the corner here on this kind of stuff. Stick to your guns because you didn't mean it to be offensive. And if somebody was offended by it, that's their problem, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, Jim has Jim had made the statement that he did not apologize. He's not going to apologize. And if you got offended, well, I'm not going to repeat what he said. But he said, look, he was only doing the NWA as a favor because he loved professional wrestling and he loved the NWA.
Right.
As for him losing money, look, I've looked up how much Jim Cornette is worth right now. $5.8 million. I don't think he's going to be hurting for money.
Nah, not at all.
His T-shirts, his books, his DVDs, and he does all these Comic Cons and all these local promotions. He was here in Winston-Salem. I didn't get to see him. Darn it. But let me tell you something. He's not hurting for money. Jim Cornette, I give you props for what you did. I thought it was the funniest thing I've heard in a long time. And I don't care. It didn't offend me. But you, NWA, you have finally done it. You have now stubbed your toe.
Yep. They
stubbed their toe.
Now, Zane, did you see this past episode of Power?
It was a repeat or whatever. It was a review.
Yeah, it was kind of a review. That it's called a clip show in TV, where they kind of do a best of type thing. And Eli Drake, who had an interview from Championship Wrestling from Hollywood inside of this, said that this was the plan all along to do this show this particular week, and it just happened when this controversy with Jim Cornette came up. I don't buy it. I think they were scrambling, trying to do something. Although I did hear Cornette's voice on one of the matches that they were showing. Mm-hmm. I don't buy it. I'm not trying to call them liars, but in my eye, I think they were glad that it happened, trying to take some of the heat off. But I think it brought them more heat by not making some sort of statement at the very beginning of it.
Can I intervene for just one second?
Yes, sir.
If you don't mind. How are they going to do the rest of the shows when it's already taped 6 weeks in advance?
That's what I'm...
What are they going to do? How are they going to do it?
I don't know. What was that?
I was going to... No, I'm going to play it after. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. But the thing of it is, this is going to tape show for 6 weeks.
Uh-huh.
So you mean to tell me for the next shows they're going to have, are they going to edit out Jim's... commentary?
I guess we'll find out this week, won't we?
If they edit out his commentary, I swear to you, I'll get on the NWA Power and say, you guys are morons.
I will too. I will too. I will.
You are morons.
Call him.
Well, and who's going to replace Jim Cornette? I mean, you know, the NWA here they are. They're like, they're sizzling hot right now. I mean, everybody's in love with this show. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they're like one little bump in the road and they make such a big fashion deal about it. You know what what Billy Corgan should have done was released a statement instead of backpedal and said, we stand by Jim Cornette. His comments were not meant to intend to offend anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Go pound sand. And
if you don't like it, don't watch.
Made such a big deal out of it that Jim Cornette pulls his hands out of his pockets and does the old Stone Cold and flips in the bird and says, F you guys, I don't need you. Wow. I don't need this kind of drama and this crap. And so now what? Who's going to take over?
Tim Storm. Tim Storm. He's at the end of his career. I just thought about this. Tim Storm is the only one. He may be retiring this year or next year. What better way than to slip him in the commentary?
Well, we'll have to see. There's a lot of decisions they have to make.
Oh, yes, there is.
Yeah. So, Zane, you were going to play something for us?
Yeah, yes. I'm going to play something for you. Let's play this right now. Go.
Dangerous to know. He's the only man I've ever known that can strap a bucket of fried chicken on his back and ride a motor scooter across Ethiopia. Trevor Murdoch can take care of himself.
There you go.
Yeah.
Was that so offensive?
Not really.
I mean, he's just introducing Trevor Murdoch. I mean, it's like, what the... But speaking of which, I don't know if you guys saw the meme that I made of Trevor Murdoch, and I put that quote on it.
I saw it.
We, Turnbuckle Trash, actually got a request to share and tag Trevor Murdoch in it. So it went, it shared it to his Facebook page and all of his fans and his people. So if he wasn't offended by it and he asked to be tagged in the photo, because he probably thought it was funny as heck.
Yeah.
Well, you know where he got that joke from is from Big Bubba Rogers when he was in Louisville. No, he was in here in North Carolina, and he told Big Bubba Rogers, Big Boss Man, that Big Boss Man, you're the only man I know, and he said that, and Boss Man just about fell on the floor at a Bojangles, laughing his butt off.
Yeah.
And he said that's what it was all about.
Yeah. It wasn't.
Go ahead, please. The
whole thing about the way people react, I think, is. It's not only are they looking to be offended, but someone, and I'll put myself in here because I'm, quote, in the entertainment industry just a little bit. Sometimes we say things not intending for them to be taken the way that somebody takes them. Whose fault is that? If I tell a joke and somebody takes offense by my joke, if I wasn't intending to make fun of somebody or make fun of a situation in a hurtful way, and they took it that way, whose fault is it? I don't think it's mine. Yeah. I think it's that person that takes offense.
I mean, every time, we always are, making jokes about how large and in charge you are, Dr.
That's right.
Dave. And,
that's right.
And we're just fooling around. It's like if somebody were to come right up to your face and say, you fat sack of lard, eat something, you'd be like, what's your problem, man? Get out of my face, you know? Right. But it's like I always just joke like how I'm like, how scatterbrained I am and how it's like, I mean, if my butt wasn't attached to me, I'd probably forget it every day, Oh my gosh, that's so offensive. What about people who don't have butts? Come on, get over it. Get on with life.
I'll give y'all an example. I'll give y'all an example. I was teaching in a martial arts school, and I had my The South Will Rise Again. I had a Confederate flag on me, and this lady from the YMCA, she came up to me and she says, "Sir, you're going to have to turn that shirt inside out." And I looked at her and a friend of mine that run the school, I looked at him, I said, looks like you and I are not going to be in this YMCA much longer. I looked at her, I said, well, can you please tell me the people that are offended by this shirt, please, ma'am? And she says, well, yes, I can. I said, show me to them, please. And we walked up to them, and I looked at them, and they were in the African-American. And I said, you're offended by my shirt? Yes, tell me why. She goes, well, that represents racism. I said, no, ma'am. This represents Southern heritage to me. You don't like it? Close your eyes. I'm not taking my shirt off. I walked away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing it. But, guys, here's the thing. the PC police have taken over, and we all have to put our hands out, and they slap it real quick. I'm not going to do it. Jim Cornette did nothing wrong. NWA, you've stubbed your toe, and I'm sorry. It's all even Nick Aldis had said something about Jim Cornette. I don't know what it was. I didn't read it, but I'm sure that he towed the line of the NWA being right. The champion.
Right. So that brings us up to another controversy that another announcer had on AEW this last week when and I'm trying to remember her name right offhand, but I can't. The Japanese competitor comes out. She's a veteran. She comes out and she has a mustache on and she's twirling a baton. I think it's supposed to be a microphone. And from what I understand, it's like an homage to Freddie Mercury of Queen. And Jim Ross said, I've never seen Freddie Mercury look so oriental. As soon as I heard that, I knew something was going to be coming of that. And it did. I didn't take offense to it. I laughed. I thought, but I knew that somebody was going to take offense, and they did. Jim has not apologized, and AEW has not apologized, but he understood why someone would take offense to that comment. And, you know, Chunky Larry, that used to host our podcast with his podcast network, he actually, on my Facebook page, put on something about how Jim Ross and also Jim Cornette were old Southern guys and would say things not to be offensive, and they were just, you know, unaware that somebody would take offense to what they said. And Larry, Chunky Larry, is an African-American and a great guy. Sometimes he takes offense to what we say, and there was some problems between the two of us, but I'm still friends with him, and I think he's a wonderful human being. So I think that explains a lot. They're two old Southern gentlemen, and sometimes I grew up in the South, and I'm sure I can say things that would offend somebody.
I know I didn't grow up in the South, and I say things that offend everybody every day.
Yeah, I know you do.
I don't know what my excuse is. I don't have an excuse. I just don't care.
You're just a redneck.
My wife says, we're not going to have any friends because you don't keep your mouth shut. And I'm sure one day I'll say something and I'll get my butt beat for it. And I guess that'll be that, but... I toe the line, but I know that, you know, I'm not going to walk up to somebody on the street and be like, hey, you stupid, you know, four letter this word, you know, that's just asking for, to get your butt kicked. But
and there's a different way that you're doing that. If you're doing that, you're doing it as being an idiot, a jerk, you know, and that's when you're prejudiced and that's when you're bigoted and, but nothing that we do is done in that particular realm. So,
well, speaking of different realms, if you guys don't mind shifting gears here,
okay.
Yes, let's do that.
Christmas time's coming up. I know you guys have been thinking about me and looking to get me something for Christmas. And,
sure, we have. Yes, we have.
I'm trying to get you a different Trish Stratus, but she won't answer my phone calls.
That would be fine too. But you know, I had my eye on this one of a kind custom manufactured belt that the WWE just came out with. Just a thought. If you guys are still thinking of me, I mean, it's only like $6,500, but you know,
Can that be a typo?
It's just pocket change for Chris.
Can that be a typo, please?
No.
The only way that belt is worth $6,500 if Hulk Hogan's sweat is still on it. Okay.
If Bray Wyatt wore it when he was doing the Muscle Man dance?
That is one of the god ugliest belts I've ever seen in my life, except for the 24/7.
I'd love it. I would love to have it, but I ain't gonna pay $6,500 for it.
Why is it?
I know you're not. I know you're not gonna pay that much for yourself, Dave. That's what I was saying. You know, your pal, your partner in crime, your co-host. You know, I mean,
I'd rather have the NWA.
It's a giving season of the year. You know, you and Chris could split it. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
If you guys want to go 60-40, yeah,
sure,
you know, something like that.
We'll put it under advisement. That's what we'll do.
Yeah,
we'll put that under advisement.
Think about it, okay, guys?
I just want to know who's going to be the winner.
Cyber Monday's coming up. You know, it might be on sale for $63.99.
Cool.
I want to know the first person who buys one of those belts. I want to see them. I want to see this. It better be Donald Trump or it better be somebody. Come on now, what the hell?
Somebody with a lot more money than we do.
If I opened up that, I'd be like, oh, really? Boy, you're an idiot. Can you get a refund? Split it with me.
That's a lot of money, but yeah. And there'll be some people who buy it. I guarantee you there's people out there with money that will pay for that, so.
Yeah, high on meth.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Or they sell meth, yeah. Hey,
they're meth, though, right?
One other thing about AEW I wanted to get into was this former WCW announcer, Chris Cruz, contacting the Maryland Athletic Commission, trying to get them to look into the lights out match with Kenny Omega and John Moxley. Give me a break. I don't know.
Why?
I think he has just some sort of bad taste in his mouth from his days in WCW. Something had to happen to Mr. Cruz that has made him anti-professional wrestling, and he is doing everything he can in his power to take every opportunity to give them a black eye. I really do.
Well, do we know where he was? Was he a referee? Was he a...
He was an announcer on very few programs, but he was there. I saw a picture of him, and I kind of recognized him, but not much. So he did work for WCW, I think, in the last days. And probably Vince Russo did something to him. So, you know, Vince was known to do things like that. But I think that's probably where it all comes from. So, but I want you guys to listen to this. This comes straight from Chris Cruz's Facebook page. And this is what he put on there about prohibitive activities from the Maryland Athletic Association of things that were prohibited for professional wrestling.
Okay, now I want a push fight. Understand? I want a fair fight and a push fight. No biting, no hair pulling, and no hitting below the belt.
And they got that fantasy, man.
This comes off his Facebook page. Once again, I wanted to let you guys know this. He says the following are prohibited: striking an opponent with a fist or using the knuckles, scratching or gouging the opponent, butting the opponent.
What?
Butting the opponent. There could be a lot of different things going on there.
I'm not even going to go there. Go ahead.
Slamming an opponent into a ring post, striking an opponent with a foreign object, kicking an opponent unless it's a recognized wrestling move, a stranglehold, pulling hair, inhibiting breathing by covering the nose and mouth at the same time, jumping from the ropes onto an opponent, deliberately leaving the ring enclosure during the contest.
What is this garbage?
Unsportsmanlike or physically dangerous conduct, and deliberately lacerating oneself or an opponent by any other means, including human or animal blood into the ring. And finally, a wrestler continuing to engage in prohibited activities after sufficient warning may be disqualified by the referee.
When were these rules made up? 1936?
Zane?
Yeah.
I'm floored, man. I'm floored. I got an idea, guys. So, Here's my idea. I think we should have a heavyweight championship belt just for the state of Maryland. And here are the two wrestlers that I think should wrestle for.
I know what it is.
Yeah, they need to wrestle. They need to be Gentleman Jervis against Orange Cassidy. Yes.
Yes.
And he could be the Maryland heavyweight champion. I think AEW should do that.
Oh,
man. That would be
That would be hilariously, wouldn't it? Yeah, it would be awesome. Bring in Gentleman Jervis for one match, wearing 3,000 butterflies, and have him going against Orange Cassidy. And boy, you'd see the yawning going on in the ring.
Yeah, and the yawning that's going on outside the ring.
But have you ever heard of anything so ridiculously stupid about professional wrestling?
That is hilarious. So that was really from the Maryland...
According to this Chris Cruz Facebook page, he quoted this. He says he quoted it from the Maryland Athletic Commission.
But that's why it's. I thought wrestling, professional wrestling, wasn't sanctioned anymore.
In some areas they do have to go through the Athletic Commission. I can't say every state. I do know. I do know that in the state of Louisiana, that when they had the WrestleMania there a couple of years ago, and they had the big event outside of WrestleMania with all the independents there, they could not do the pile driver. It was outlawed. The Athletic Commission said no pile drivers. So evidently, okay, they do have some say in some states.
Okay, so that's going to have to be a little bit of homework for all of us. We'll have to go through all the states and find out, like Tennessee and North Carolina, Utah, California, Nevada. And it would, oh my gosh, it would take us till 2021 to figure all of them out.
Yep, probably longer. So I just thought it was stupid.
I mean, in Tennessee, Tennessee, the pile driver's outlawed from the state athletic commission. I mean, but that was just for, that was just kayfabe.
Right.
That's all that was. That was kayfabe. But go ahead.
I was going to say, Jerry Lawler tells a story in his book, It's Good to Be the King, that he was going into the state of Mississippi to promote an event. And there was some opposition to him that he had to have all this different things that were had to be for his event to take place. And he actually went against the in front of the commission and talked about how it was a performance. It wasn't necessarily an athletic event. It was a performance to be able to get to do his event in the state of Mississippi. But that was way back in the 80s when that happened. So,
yeah,
you would think that everyone would be caught on by now. So,
well, I'm surprised y'all guys are not watching Starcade right now.
I'm going to watch it later. It's on the network, right? What's going on with
it? Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. I got a little message on my phone that says, please don't miss Kevin Owens and Ric Flair having a verbal altercation in the ring at Starcade. Okay. If I want to see a liver spot, talk to KO. I'll go watch it later. So, I don't care for it.
He's not that much older than me, man.
Oh, yeah, but that boy does he look rough. I mean, every time he comes out and tries to cut a promo, it looks like the teeth are going to fall right out of the ring.
Yeah, but Ric Flair has kissed the Grim Reaper on the lips and gave him the figure four.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, that man has cheated death so many times, it's pathetic.
Yeah.
So
starting off with that plane crash.
Probably just because he didn't do steroids back in the 80s, because we all know that that's what kills everybody is steroids.
Well, heck, Ric Flair's still benching 400 pounds right now.
Dang.
I mean, I saw this man lift 400, and he says, and that's just the top of the line. And then all of a sudden you see him walk away, and he's holding his back a little bit. Yeah, you're top of the line, all right.
I lift 400 pounds every time I stand up from a chair.
That's my boy.
Ba-dum-bow.
I'm lifting up 40 ounces right now. Okay. Go ahead, please. One way I can get. Go ahead.
Back to the announcers, real quick. There was a situation that occurred, part of the NXT Takeover event with War Games, and I don't know what to think about this because Murano Rinaldo. How do you pronounce his name? I never can pronounce.
I don't know.
Rinaldo.
Yeah, Rinaldo. Yes. Okay. Well, he was on there, and he was getting criticism from some people on Twitter, and Corey Graves started chiming in, and he said, hey, you do know that there's a Hall of Famer and also a British superstar that are on the announce desk, you know, saying that Rinaldo was speaking too much. Now, I hesitate to kind of talk about this, but I think it's something we need to address because we know that JBL bullied him out of the SmackDown booth. And then he was not around for this week's NXT. And
it hit him hard.
Yeah, it hit him hard. And I think part of the reason is he has suffered from some mental issues. He's talked about that. He's owned up to that. And Corey Graves has apologized, so I'll give him credit for that. But someone who works in an entertainment industry can take criticism most of the time, except when it comes from a peer. And I think that he took that as criticism from Corey Graves, and it affected him very, very much. And once again, I go back to my experience of being in radio since 1974. It is hard when somebody comes up and says they don't like what you do on the radio and tells you, you know, they just can't stand you. That's okay. That's happened to me, and I know I can't please everybody. But when it's somebody that I respect, somebody that I have a good working relationship, and they criticize me, I take it pretty hard myself, and I think that's what happened. But the good news is today it says he will be back on NXT this week. So we wish him the best, and I understand. He's great. I think he's incredible.
He's great. He's great. But, you know, he doesn't I can relate to with the depression and the things like that. And you somehow, some way, you've got to not let let stuff roll off your back, you know, because if you were to, I mean, Dave, if everybody listened to Cool 103.9, I mean, I'm sure there's people out there in Cache Valley that don't like the morning show.
I agree.
Change the station.
Yeah.
I mean, are you just going to quit because of those handful of people?
No.
You know, I mean, you know, I somehow, some way, Morrow's got to figure it out and grow a little bit of a pair. And, you know, what he should have done was told Corey Graves to go yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you washed up piece of tattooed garbage, you know, go have another concussion, you moron, you know,
but go have, like, another affair.
Yeah. He should have said to him, holy bleep.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh, hey, Corey, remember that one time when you can't wrestle anymore? You know, like, but, you know, come on, dude. I see both sides, and I agree with you 1,000%.
Right.
But also, there's got to be a time in your life where you've got to grow a set.
Yeah, there is.
Right?
And that's what he's struggling with, I think, you know. I agree with you 100% there. Chris?
Well, I mean, I've had my depression moments. I know what the man is going through. I go through a lot of people telling me that I suck at my job, and I've had it throughout the correctional facilities and jails. But when it all comes down to it, my phone is the one that always rings. When I lived in Kentucky, they always called me in because I was the one they could always depend on. But through these two, Corey Graves and the other gentleman, yeah, he needs to grow a new set and back his ears up and just keep going. That's just the way life is. But to me, Corey Graves is the biggest piece of elephant dung that I've ever met, I've ever seen in my life. Nice tattoo work, though. I like that. But
I don't particularly like his work on air either. So, but
he's terrible.
No, he's terrible. And he's boring. He's so boring. But I don't know, guys.
But he is dating Carmella.
More power to him. I'll salute him on that one right there. But keep up the good work, sir. Have another affair.
yeah, for real.
But the thing of it is, guys, is that I wish everybody luck in professional wrestling because it's so hot these days. But there are so many people that like to bully. And that's one thing I can't stand is a bully.
Yeah.
I would grab anybody that bullied a child or bullied another adult, slap them across the face and said, I'm the bully that don't like bullies. Go ahead. Please slap me. I dare you. Mm-hmm.
And but, more people need to have that attitude, you know, just standing up to people that bully a little bit. So,
well, Zane's your little son is still in martial arts, correct, sir?
Yeah.
Well, see, his son is going to turn out to be a good man because martial arts teaches you fundamentals of honesty, respect, and discipline, and to be for your fellow man or woman and treat them with respect. And to stand up for what you believe in. And that's the greatest thing that I've taken away from it. And when your boy becomes a black belt, you will find that he will be a real good man growing up because he'll remember his teachings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what needs to happen these days. We've gotten away from, and I'll be the first one to admit it. If I bullied someone in school, I didn't have my mother to deal with. I had my mother, my father, my grandmother, my grandfather. They all disciplined me. And that's what's missing in the society is discipline. We don't have it anymore. We don't have discipline. I had to go out and get the Sword of Omen stick when I did something wrong, and I got my butt whipped. That's what's missing in society, and that's why we have these bullies, these little kids that like to pick on people, and even like to pick on adults. And adults don't even know how to act like an adult. So my say is this, he needs to grow a set and just go on with his life. If he can't handle it, go back to the UFC. I don't know where he come from the UFC?
Yeah, he's Maranato done UFC. Yeah, he's done UFC work, so.
Well, okay. But what's y'all's two take on it now? I mean, what do you get from this? Do you think he'll stick around from now on, or do you think he'll do NXT for a little bit and he'll say goodbye?
I don't know. I don't necessarily know if he would be around forever. Do you think, Dave? I don't have any idea.
It all depends how things go backstage, to be honest with you. I mean, if you think you've lost the respect of your employers or your or even the people that you work with, it's tough. I mean, it is tough to show up every day. You know, the situation that happened with JBL, and JBL has been known to bully a lot of people. And I think JBL is a great guy, don't get me wrong. But when that stuff happened with SmackDown before, he was probably wrong. Once again, wasn't there, don't know the whole situation. But when you're talking about someone who is dealing with some mental issues, sometimes they don't have that dealing mechanism like we've been talking about. It. And he might not possess that at this time, that he has that dealing mechanism. Me, you know, when somebody criticizes me, and recently I did have someone criticize my air work, it affected me for about a half a day. And I said, you know what? I'm doing what I've been asked to do. And this person, they can have their opinion. I really don't care as long as I get my paycheck, right? And that sometimes you have to put it down that simple, saying, as long as somebody's paying me, I'm happy. Let's get it over with. Let's do it. You know, that's all I got to say.
I'll agree with that. I'll agree with that.
Yeah. Well, guys, anything else you guys want to talk about?
You know, I think you've covered things quite well. I apologize for I wasn't as passionate today as I was a couple of weeks ago. But
you was into it,
still
baby.
Had a great time.
Yeah.
Still had a great time.
Yeah.
You know, when I get a subject that bothers me, oh man, it's like, you better watch out, buddy, because you're going to get the wrath.
Mm-hmm.
But I got over it real quick.
Yeah.
It was like, you guys let me have my moment to vent, and I'm good. You know, it's like, I'm good for a while, you know?
There you
just
go.
Something
there
else pisses me off again.
Very good.
Yeah, well, Chris?
Well, there is a wrestler that has from our Ring of Honor that has in his contract, and now they're trying to figure out where he's going to go. The villain.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe he's going to go to NXT or Ring of Honor? I mean, AEW.
I bet he shows up at AEW.
Okay.
And then Kelly Klein, who is an ROH World Female Champion, has been injured, and her contract has been terminated by ROH, and they're having some real major problems at Ring of Honor right now. So,
oh Lord,
yeah.
But I do have one question about Impact. What is this old school stuff that they're doing? Have you seen this?
No, I have not, to be honest with you, because I don't have a real way to watch a lot of Impact except for YouTube, and I haven't picked it up this week. So,
well, they're doing these old school wrestling promos and matches where they had these old names, and it's called the IPWF or something like that, and it is the dumbest thing I have ever seen.
Just a thought.
Go for it. Go ahead.
It's in response to NWA Power.
Yes.
I think it's just in response to them, their popularity, and they're thinking they can grab some of that audience. That's just my thought, having not seen it, but it makes sense to me. That's why you would do something like that.
Well, that makes perfect sense. You are correct there, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, you are.
Okay.
Great show, guys.
Yeah. Quickly, one quick two little things. Luke Harper has pretty much said he's leaving WWE. He's going to be on the independent scene under the name of Brody Lee, which is what mm-hmm. he performed on before going to WWE. And then this last Friday on Jeopardy, they had an entire WWE category on one of their boards. So that was kind of fun.
We would have taken the friggin' money home with that one, Dave.
We'd have taken it, baby.
Yeah.
So.
Oh yeah.
Well, who is Hollywood Hulk Hogan for $1,000?
$1,000. It's my daily double. I'll bet the bank. So, well, guys, it's been great. We're at the first part of December now. I think our next show will probably be more of a look back at 2019, and we'll do that sometime around the Christmas holiday. So if I don't talk to you between now and then, you guys are great. You've it's been a wonderful year for Turnbuckle Trash, and I thank you very much.
Well, the one thing we need to say before we sign off, everybody, please say your thoughts and prayers for Uncle David. He's going in for his surgery, and we all wish you the best on your surgery, sir. We hope everything turns out excellent.
Yeah.
We hope it all turns out well.
Thank you, man.
All right, bye.
Zane?
Chris?
Huh?
Dave, thanks, guys. You guys are awesome. Chris is the man. Dave is a stud. Turnbuckle Trash is awesome.
Yes, we are. We try our best every day.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair,
woo!
I took that table and I went to working on him. The table broke and it had metal legs and I'm jugging him. And when he's down, I'm jumping on him.
Just a little bit hotter than Chris is. So.
Well, he's always that way.
Yeah.
He's the sexy boy.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I have a pretty good memory, but it's about the second shortest thing I know. So.
Budding the opponent.
What?
Budding the opponent.
What about people who don't have butts?
Porch. He's laying down already because I had really did a number on that man. I'm serious.
There's a little bit of inbreeding with some of these people.
They know that AEW is going to beat them. They know that AEW is better.
You've been reading social media way too much. idiot.
Yep.
Boring show called The View over the weekend.
Needs to be canceled.
Yeah, well, I hate The View.
You washed up piece of tattooed garbage.
And that's the bottom line, because Grandma Willie said so.
Because I had really did a number on that man. I'm serious.